listening to Get Sports Radio.
All right, welcome in. It is episode 4 of the Get Sports Info podcast. I'm Dan Claskins. Welcome into our 4th episode. In this episode, we're going to dive into some early 2017 fantasy rankings. You know, the draft, free agency, all in the rearview mirror now. So we're going to take our first full look at these 2017 fantasy football rankings on this edition. And here to do it with me, we'll talk to in a few minutes, my good friend from Football Diehards, Evan Terracciano, at Roto underscore Wizard. He'll join us in our Friends in Fantasy segment. We're going to get in. Yeah, I'm coming off the heels of Derby weekend last weekend, and certainly looking forward to the rest of the Triple Crown trail. But I can tell you that, man, the Kentucky Derby, if you haven't done it, put it on your bucket list. It's one of my favorite sports parties, and in my hashtag my one more thing, our final segment of the day where we get off the beaten path to fantasy a little bit, we're going to talk about some of our best sports parties or maybe just ones we like to go to. Plus, as always, you know, we're going to keep you up to date on all the latest news here in just a minute since the last time I talked. But let's also talk about the new website, GetSportsInfo.com. If you haven't been to it yet, check it out. We've just relaunched the podcast, the key feature piece there, along with the hashtag my one more thing blog, where we're talking stuff there as well. We've got a big announcement. I'm literally just a day or so away from a big announcement where our fantasy content's going to be hanging. I'm pretty excited about that. But my rankings, I've been working on them. They're updated at Fantasy Pros right now, and we'll certainly keep them there throughout the season. But right now, you know, we're just happy to be talking fantasy football. I'm already a couple MFL 10s in this thing after the draft. I do have one or two MFL 10s like right after the season, but it's really after the draft that they become an addiction for me. But I recommend you jump in our league. We got one. I'm signing up people right now. Our guest Evan's going to be in. A couple other industry friends already signed up. And spot for you, maybe. If you're interested, check it out on the blog there at GetSportsInfo.com. Let's talk quickly through some news and notes before we dive into these rankings. And we won't spend too much time on some of these, but this one was interesting this week when a rumor was out and about there on Twitter land. Mark Ingram, trade rumors swirling that he could be potentially moved to Philadelphia. It looks like it's more talk than any action here. It did spark some interest, though, into that crowded Saints backfield situation. Well, we'll certainly talk about it when we get in our rankings, perhaps. And Jamal Charles, on the other hand, he did sign with the team, ending up with the Broncos. This guy, on the wrong side of 30, you know, five games of action and now the past couple seasons, I'm not thinking that there's a lot there. He's not even really ready to return, but not a bad landing spot for him. It's sort of interesting to see him in the playing for the Broncos after all the years with the Chiefs, but not the first time we've seen AFC West running backs go to a former rival, and for Charles, maybe there's enough there left for him for a role. I won't be investing him in fantasy. So I thought it was interesting too. Michael Floyd, he ends up with the Vikings, going back to his hometown team, and you know he had to spend some off-season time in jail already. So that's behind him. That's the good news. Can he stay out of trouble? I don't know. But here's the thing: they risked next to nothing for this guy, and here he is returning to his hometown team. You know, got a nice little incentive-laden deal there. But from the Vikings standpoint, I mean, this guy might actually end up being a commodity for him. That receiving core is just terrible. I mean, Diggs is all right. They wasted a pick on Laquon Treadwell. I don't think he's going to pan out. I mean, time, it's only going to be a second season, but I wasn't a believer from the beginning. But will be interesting. Maybe Floyd can get it together there. Not going to probably be drafting him early on, but a guy I'm keeping my eyes on in camp for sure. I'm also not very interested about Victor Cruz. He hasn't signed yet, but a lot of teams expressing some interest. I think the Ravens are turning up some heat on him. I mean, the guy just hasn't been the same since the injury, so I don't care where he lands. Hard to get excited, and certainly nobody's going to be drafting Josh Gordon. He's not even allowed back in the league. The NFL heard his case for reinstatement, but they turned him down. He's now got to wait till at least August. His agent dumped him a couple weeks ago. I mean, clearly there's more news to come on this, but I mean, how many chances can the guy get? Honestly, it's not even about football right now, but if you were one of those owners that just couldn't let go of this guy in your dynasty league, I did like 3 years ago, so I'm sort of over this, but I would say he has finally reached his final destination on your dynasty board as a commodity. So we'll talk plenty dynasty ahead, and I'm happy to welcome in now a man that has been already talking quite a bit of fantasy football. I know you were jacked up for the draft, Evan, because I saw you busting busting out the tweets left and right. And with us now in our Friends in Fantasy segment, Evan Terracciano at @Roto_Wizard on Twitter, a must follow there. You can check him out running the social media for footballdiehards.com, where he's a senior writer. And Evan, man, I appreciate you spending some time with me. I know we had a little technical difficulties here, so you're well invested in this episode, Ford. But, man, I'm happy to talk rankings with you, my friend.
I know. And it's funny because we always talk about the football season never ending. You know, there's the draft. There's, of course, you know, all the trades that happen, the free agent signings. But every single time that something major occurs, it just really gets me just chomping at the bit for the season to get here already. So it's fun looking at rookies. It's fun hearing about the non-mandatory camps that are breaking out all over the place, but let's get to football already.
Yes, and the season, I mean, it doesn't end, but really all sports are like that anymore. I mean, it just depends on what you're into, and I'll tell you right now, I mean, this year's rookie class, I mean, we're coming off of an exciting draft, very deep with talent, and you know, I gotta be honest, I've been doing these season-long rankings, publishing them since 2003 here, and this was one of the tougher times I've had with rookies fitting him in the spots, just one, because the draft just took such a crazy turn. But two, there's so many good guys, and where they landed could mean the difference between what we see again here. What did you think overall of the draft, and how much you think it will impact these redraft leagues even in 2017?
Certainly this was it was a bit of a surprise, because going into the draft, like I was tweeting, and I'm sure as many others kind of agreed to, it was more of a defensive heavy draft. So to see as many offensive players go as early as they did, it was a bit shocking, especially from the quarterback front, with of course people trading up and then the Bears making their splash move at the second overall pick there. But you know, from a fantasy standpoint, entering next year, there's a lot to like. We have of course the big three with the running backs, with between McCaffrey, I guess you can include Joe Mixon here at this point as well, and Dalvin Cook, Fournette, of course. So any one of those players are going to come into fairly good situations. Cook maybe being the outside exception there. But, there's, again, a lot to like, especially because most of the backs that were drafted can catch passes. There aren't very many that are strictly road graders, first down guys, and they're off the field. So a lot of impact there. And tight end. I think this could be the year we actually see rookie tight ends maybe get that fringe tight end one week in, week out.
We saw it last year. It stretches with some of the guys.
With Henry. Sure.
Henry, definitely. I think down the end there, Hooper was even valuable in some formats.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you, I mean, you look at, to me, I mean, beyond there's the rookies, this year in fantasy is so interesting, because last year was finally the year where I felt like the majority, a large majority of folks bought into the heavy wide receiver early thing, and we saw it sort of take a step back. I'm not jumping ship, but I mean, I know we all like to have a lot of balance there, but you know, you're looking at your first three rounds of picks. I mean, do you think we will still see so many receivers go in those first three rounds like we did a year ago?
I think so. Of course, you know, we hear that receivers don't get injured as much as running backs, and to an extent that's true, but of course they still get banged up. But as more and more leagues shift to a PPR format, we've kind of seen the tide turning a little bit. That does favor the receivers, and the consistency factors there as well. We've seen a lot of running backs over the last year or two just disappear in contests, especially down that playoff stretch, and cost their team a championship run. So I still think that we're going to have that 2, 3, 4 receivers draft in the first round. You know, Brown, Beckham, Evans, and Jones pretty much immediately come to mind. So it's still going to be plenty of wide receivers drafted early. I don't see a reason not to. Not a strategy I like. I like kind of anchor. I'm old school. I like to play it the old school way and get their backs first. But won't blame anybody if they take a receiver early.
Yeah, let's dive in. Let's go a little bit position by position here. Sure. and take a sneak peek at these rankings. You know, I mean, I must admit, depending on how fresh you get my podcast here, if you stumble upon it, these are fluid situations this time of year for me as I do more and more just tinkering and research and actually drafting. I believe drafting in these early drafts, whether it's an MFL 10 or whatever, for me, it's a very important practice because it allows me to establish value, you know, try different spots, see, you know, just to get an idea of the flow of the draft. And I mean, that has a big, big impact. But let's start at quarterback. I mean, sure. I think we all would agree Aaron Rodgers is the number one. I mean, you could make an argument for other guys. And then I think we would also agree that Brady, Luck, Breeze, I mean, those are probably on most people's board in the top five. I mean, of those, who else is in the top five for you besides Rodgers, Brady, Luck, and Breeze? Are there other or nothing?
You pretty much hit it. I have Rodgers, Breeze, Brady, Ryan, and Luck. Though that's my top five currently. So,
and I guess for me, I mean, it's easy to establish, Evan, who those guys are. The question is when do you pull the trigger?
For me, it's late. On my personal teams, I will likely not see any of those quarterbacks at the helm. I, in the past several years, depending upon what kind of draft it is, has somewhat dictated when they get taken. As we both know, in industry drafts, quarterbacks can wait until the fourth round, the fifth, the sixth round. You know, people just wait and wait because they know that's kind of what you do. If you're more in a friends and family league, you could see Aaron Rodgers be taken at the back end of the second round, at the beginning of the third round, and it's fine. Certainly, you know, how the league rules and the format play into account here, but I always am just a fan of taking one of those guys late. I'm a double-digit quarterback guy, and you know, again, pretty much the same way with tight ends as well.
I'm not opposed to taking them. It just depends. You're right. It has to fall in a good spot.
Value.
I usually end up with them more in like some of the industry leagues to where everybody's waiting on quarterback, and if it gets to a point, I'm gonna pull a trigger. I do think there's sort of value in a recent MFL 10 I was doing today. I waited on quarterback, but I didn't wait too long. And your strategy in MFL 10 is a little different because it's best ball. But either way, I saw value once, or five quarterbacks already off the board mid round eight. I was still able to get Matt Ryan. I was pretty happy.
Yeah, so, you should be.
Yeah, so I mean, I'm not opposed to. I will not be opposed to pulling the trigger on Aaron Rodgers this year. It just depends on what my team looks like, who is still available on the board if I'm in a late round four or so pick, because I believe it's worth it to just bank on him every week. But you know, it's just a matter of. Basically a matter of what you prefer, but I definitely agree. I don't really want to strategize it. Hey, I'm going in and grabbing Rodgers. It's more of like, when does the value become too good to pass up for me?
Correct.
When we look at the quarterback position, and I know, I mean, if anybody that you know hears me on or follows me and listens on Twitter knows that I sort of have a man crush on Jameis Winston anyway, because I'm a Florida State fan, and Bucks have always been one of my favorite teams since my Florida days. But I mean, Jameis Winston, this offseason, I mean, this guy is about as big a winner on the board. He's inside my top 10. I've got him at 10 as we speak. I can tell you, though, is if he starts looking in, if the buzz is as good in camp and preseason, this guy could go up a couple more spots to me. Mm-hmm. But really, what I want to talk to you about is not just him, is all these young guns out here. I mean, look at the quarterbacks with less than 3 years of experience in a season. Yeah. You got Winston. You got Marcus Mariota just coming off a pretty major injury. Mm-hmm. Dak Prescott's on that list. Carson Wentz is on this list. Mm-hmm. Let's look at those guys. I don't really expect any of the rookies. Maybe get your take if there is a rookie to keep your eyes on. But, I mean, these second-year quarterbacks, third-year guys – Where do you pull the trigger on these? And are any of them, in your eyes, a quarterback one for you for this season?
Just to kind of start off, no. I mean, there's no rookie quarterbacks that will likely be on my team unless I'm in a two-quarterback league, and I'm kind of getting desperate with that second
Everybody
pick.
Should do at least one two-quarterback
league. This is true.
Side note.
Yes, same thing with IDP. It makes it more fun. But, you know, at that second tier, at that second grouping of players that certainly possess a ton of upside, my favorite of that bunch is still going to be Derek Carr. I certainly love Jameis Winston, like you alluded to. The pickup of O.J. Howard is clutch, and I think that DeSean Jackson's going to go absolutely bananas if he can stay on the field this year. Carr, to me, is just, he's probably the safest upside of the bunch. I think getting Lynch in there in the backfield and certainly the offensive line that they have is going to keep him upright. So if Carr can avoid those knick-knack injuries he dealt with, especially in the second half of last year, with that tandem of the, you know, Crabtree Cooper that he has, I like him an awful lot. But you know, that entire grouping of players, Mariota, Winston, you know, Carr, they all present value. They all present really, really good value, and you can get those guys certainly at a later round than that big five that we mentioned before, likely by several rounds, which makes it even more incentivizing. And like I said, of those guys, for me, Carr is going to be the one that I would tend towards.
Players falling down the board, I mean, Cam Newton, the obvious choice. I'd like to get your take on him. And I'll tell you, a guy I'll add to the list is Ben Roethlisberger, Evan. I mean, I think part of it was the lack of weapons at times last season throwing in the football. But those home road splits are no joke.
Extreme.
He's getting older.
Yep.
It's a physical division. I mean, I don't think that he's lacking the value to be on a fantasy team. I just no longer think he's a guy you can look at as a QB1. More of a QB2, high-end QB2 in a deeper league, he's an asset still, but he's falling down the board. Where do you look at him? Where do you look at Newton? Who else is on this list of stock falling quickly?
Yeah, for me, and I'll agree with you first and foremost, I kind of butt heads with my colleague Bob Harris on this one a little bit, because he still has him ranked 8th overall among quarterbacks, and for me, he's definitely outside the top 10, and people might think I'm nuts, because of course, when Le'Veon Bell and Brown and Big Ben are on the field at the same time, it's, you know, it again, the second greatest show on turf. But that hasn't happened much. And he also carries a lot of this name recognition. He hasn't had a 4,000 passing yard season, 4,000, let alone 4,000 since 2014. And then he has missed a game in at least, what, 10 of the 13 seasons he's played. So, Big Ben,
he's,
to me,
he's still a great NFL quarterback.
He is.
He lead the Steelers to the Super Bowl in 2017.
Yeah.
It's just the fantasy production is too inconsistent.
That's down. I certainly will agree with you on Carson Palmer. He looked just archaic last year.
I mean, I can't believe his arm is still attached. I mean, this guy has been through the ringer, and I just think he overachieved a little bit 2 years ago, was overhyped last year. I think this is the year where it's like, man, I am not touching Carson Palmer.
Yep.
I am not touching him. I end up with like 20 fantasy teams. Maybe he ends up on one of them, but I'm trying to cut back this year, Evan. I'm trying to cut back on my I'm trying to cut down on the season long, so I'm hoping not to if I have 20 teams.
Yeah, certainly. I mean, Palmer I had on a team or two last year, but he ended up just riding my bench in favor of a lot of those second guys that I picked up. I had a Stafford Palmer combo or a Carr Palmer combo, and he just, again, he rode the pine. It just was hard to trust. Injuries, certainly the talent around him at receiver, anybody really outside of Larry Fitzgerald is very unpredictable in terms of the consistency. So it's the David Johnson show in Arizona, and you can't trust anything else there.
Let's go over to the running back position. I mean, the big three, Le'Veon Bell, David Johnson, Ezekiel Elliott, we would probably both agree is like the strong third there. I know I like Le'Veon Bell. You like David Johnson. And we don't need to waste our breaths there. I mean, these guys are studs. So the big three after that, though, is to me the interesting question I do want to discuss with you is who else? I mean, what other guys are legitimate RB1s on your board? Like, hey, man, I'm rolling with this guy as my RB1. Mm-hmm. Even if you got a receiver in round one, let's say. This is a guy you have confidence in. Who makes up that short list for you?
It's a very short list. For me, that's pretty much going to be comprised of LeSean McCoy, Devonta Freeman, and DeMarco Murray.
Really?
There is
no Melvin Gordon or Jordan Howard on that list?
That's, again, the catch. I differ with other people based upon that. Howard I like, certainly, but, you know, the consistency was there, was nice with Howard, and it's complete opposite of the next guy I was going to allude to with Jay Ajayi, who other people will probably have within that core.
I've got Jay Ajayi is a top 10. I mean, am I think I can confidently call him an RB1, so I'm definitely higher on Ajayi than you.
Yeah.
I've got him at 7 in my standard ranks. He'll probably be a spot or two lower in my PPR when the dust settles here on this first batch of rankings. But, Ajayi is – I think he's a guy that's going to have, like we saw last year, big games. But, do I love it? No. But I still would classify him as RB1.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Melvin Gordon
is the guy I don't really love, but man, I love what the Chargers did on offense. And Woodhead never re-signed there following the injury. They didn't really address it in the draft. I mean, Melvin Gordon, even though I don't like the guy, I think he's a top five running back right now.
Let me just give you the one thing that concerned me with Melvin Gordon is because he was such a volume-based back last year, Woodhead's gone, going to get a ton of carries. He, just a fun stat for you, averaged 3.9 yards per attempt, which ranked 30th worst in the league for backs that had more than 100 carries. So, can he make the most out of every touch? Is that going to be an improvement for him? Is the line going to open up more holes for him? I mean, yeah, he's going to score touchdowns. They're going to give him the ball, no questions asked. But he's more of a low-end RB1 if you want to put him there for me. I'm not sold on him being in that 4, 5, 6 range like some other people.
Yes. Two guys at the back end of my top 10. Not on everybody's top 10 list. I'm anxious to see if they're on yours.
Okay.
San Francisco running back Carlos Hyde and a fellow NFC West back Todd Gurley. I've got them 9-10. I think the ceiling's high on these guys, but they're not without risk. They both have their flags.
Yes, yes. I have long been a Carlos Hyde backer, but I have him outside the top 10. I actually have him at 14 this year. I would love Hyde a lot more if the coaching staff would just afford him the opportunity.
It's a new day.
I know.
I think Kyle Shanahan's going to use
him.
The coaching is no longer the problem. To me, it's about the fact this guy just can't
stay healthy.
He can't stay healthy. Durability was a concern at Ohio State. I love it. I love him as a runner. I definitely think that he is going to fall. I mean, I think if he stays healthy and plays 16 games, I would have no doubt that Carlos Hyde's a top 10 fantasy running back in any format.
Agreed. I will agree with you on that. It's always been a question of health with him. Should he stay healthy and be on the field? We'll totally agree with you. Gurley's not really so much a health concern with me, just as, can that offensive line do anything?
Do you like Gurley better than any of the rookie running backs? I've had that question, I feel like 20 times since the rookie draft on Twitter.
Boy.
It was tough for me to answer, but ultimately I answered yes.
I probably would prefer him to cook.
For 2017.
Yeah, I would probably prefer him to cook. But I would not prefer him to Fournette or McCaffrey. Immediately I would say no. But, he's right in that same tier for me as Cook. I think Dalvin Cook's going to emerge as a steal for the Vikings.
Well, I do think the Rams have improved immensely in year two here. I mean, year two alone is going to help Jared Goff. I do believe that I'm sold on the coaching staff. Really like the staff they put together there. Andrew Whitworth is going to anchor a bunch of key additions up front that I think will make a difference. And, I get it. It's Robert Woods isn't that exciting in the changes they've done. But they have added new pieces there. And most importantly, Sean McVay as the head coach. I'm pretty optimistic that Gurley could rebound. I think he's going to provide nice value. But his ADP and some of these MFL 10s and stuff, he's going round two, round three, so the value is not as good as you would think. So let's talk about, we sort of set it up a little bit there, but the rookies. Where exactly do they fall in your rankings? Let's focus on Leonard Fournette and Christian McCaffrey, the first two guys that got drafted in the draft first off.
Yeah, so Fournette for me falls just outside the top 10. I have him at 11, and McCaffrey I actually have at 17. So, again, I prefer McCaffrey, which is kind of no duh, in PPR formats where I think he's going to get fed the ball a ton. I love Fournette. I absolutely love Fournette. It's an interesting situation he falls into there with Jacksonville, but the guy's a beast. He's an absolute beast. There's nothing that he cannot do, which is evident by them taking fourth overall.
I don't dislike him. I'm slightly less optimistic. I look at both those guys as RB2s. They both have some upside. The PPR factor with McCaffrey. I think Fournette is to me, I think Fournette comes with a slight more risk, but a slight more ceiling as well. So
And Mixon's right outside that for me.
There's no doubt. I've only got Mixon two spots behind McCaffrey. I got him in my top 20 currently. I think the Bengals may even end up cutting or trading Jeremy Hill.
They should. Yep.
And Gio's coming back slow from the injury. I'll tell you some names that aren't rookies. That and Dalvin Cook. Let's finish up with him. I almost missed him there. I got him at 26. I think they're going to have a little bit more of a committee approach, and that offensive line is pretty anemic there in Minnesota.
Yeah, that again. This is just a guy I'm high on. I have him 18th.
I like
Cook a lot. Yeah, I like.
I'd
Cook
rather
a lot.
Have him as my RB3.
I'll put it this way. It wouldn't surprise me to see the Vikings come away with an absolute steal based upon the fact that Cook's value fell so far with the different kind of times that he was putting up at the combine. I think that they're going to walk away feeling very, very happy with him in their backfield for a year.
But you're not. I don't disagree. The talent's there. There has been off-the-field baggage.
Yep.
It's real. He's got a posse that has lingered at times. I mean, hopefully his maturity and he'll get surrounded by the right people there. I'm not worried as much about that. What I am worried about is the presence of Jerick McKinnon still there. They invested some money in Latavius Murray. So I don't think the volume is going to approach what we've seen out of other running backs in their rookie seasons have fantasy impacts. And I don't think it's going to be close. I've got these guys ahead of him. Yes or no, whether or not you rank these running backs ahead of Dalvin Cook in PPR league redrafts for this season. Montgomery.
Ty Montgomery, I have behind Cook.
Okay. Paul Perkins.
Perkins, I also have behind Cook. But like I said, I'm higher on Cook than most. So
I understand. I'm just testing the waters here. Tevin Coleman.
Coleman, I also have ranked slightly behind him, but I am also a Coleman homer.
One more. Bilal Powell.
Powell, I'm actually now moving in front of Cook with the most recent
he's
news.
He's rising on my board as well.
Yeah, he's was been
high.
Tremendous.
For the record, he was high on my board before.
Yeah.
I think he's going to be a really sneaky, in these early drafts especially, I'm gobbling him up. So that's interesting. So, yeah, I mean, I think in terms of other running back stuff that I wanted to hit on just briefly was sort of looking at some of these tough position battles to call. And we alluded to one in the opening when I was going through the news, but there were rumors that Ingram might be getting shopped to Philly. I think there was just more rumors, but looking at the Saints, if it stands, Ingram with Peterson, then they draft Kamara. I mean, where do these three players fall into your 2017 ranks?
Yeah. Can I just start off by saying how much I hate Sean Payton? I'm just going to throw this out here because
you may vent.
Oh, my God. If you go through my Twitter timeline, I have always been infatuated with Mark Ingram's talent. And the fact that every single season he somehow finds a way to hose him over, whether it's, you know, bringing in a guy like Hightower or just not getting him involved or not keeping him on the field and then cadets on the field or not running the ball whatsoever. It's infuriating to me. So it's a committee approach. I think we're all going to agree on it. They brought in Peterson for a reason. You know, Peterson will certainly compete with Ingram for these early down touches. And it's going to be a total mess. I can see Ingram basically being phased out of these short line situations. But the biggest cog here is what does Adrian Peterson have left? Because if Peterson is not the same Peterson that he was, and he didn't show it certainly last year, then Ingram getting that early work and getting those goal line carries could still finish as a RB2. And that's a possibility. Whether it's a probability, I don't think so. And as much as it will pain me to say it, it's a situation I have to unfortunately avoid this year.
PPR league, which Seattle running back are you drafting first, Eddie Lacy or CJ Procise?
If it's going to be gun to my head, I'm still going to take Lacy over Procise. I just, as a Notre Dame alumnist, I can't trust CJ Procise to stay on the field.
I think
that's
the only reason Lacy's on the team is because I don't think Pete Carroll can trust him either. And it's a fair point. I have Lacy higher in my rankings in any format. I will say in PPR leagues, though, I'll likely have more shares of Procise based off of the ADP.
Agreed.
And I believe the potential value. I'm bullish on Procise. And here's the reason is that line, man, in Seattle is terrible. And
God awful.
Procise, I mean, durability issues aside, when this guy is playing, he's already at the second level before that terrible offensive line plays even exposed. I mean, mm-hmm. this guy just gets it to another level. And even if Lacy's healthy and he's healthy, I think in a PPR league, he's still going to be good for 8 to 10 touches a game and a lot of big plays. So.
Yes, I think just making a little, not a bold statement here, but in games where CJ Procise and Eddie Lacy come in and finish healthy in a PPR format, I would fully bank on Procise per game putting up more points than Lacy. I just can't trust on him playing more games than Lacy. That's the catch.
What about the Patriots? I mean, clearly you can't really trust any of the running backs. I mean, you don't want to. But let's face it. I mean, these guys are going to be rostered mostly as bench players. Mm-hmm. I was prepared, honestly, to, you know, when they signed Rex Burkhead, it was like the contract they gave him was to the point I was like, man, this could be a really breakout sleeper here. And mm-hmm. I know I'm a Bengals fan, but having watched him and knowing his style and knowing the money they gave him and all the other factors. But, man, then they go and get Mike Gillisley.
Yeah.
And plus, he had Deion Lewis coming back. I mean, James White's clearly the PPR gold dude. I mean, he's got his niche. So, but these other three guys on the team, it's very interesting. Gillisley, I'm looking at where people are putting him, and they are extremely bullish on him. I'm backing him down a little bit. I've got him at 29 right now on my board. And, you know, Peterson, Procise, Robert Kelly, Jonathan Stewart, Doug Martin. These are names behind him on my list. Any of those guys could jump him potentially, but I don't know. I mean, I don't want to deal with the headache is the answer, but in terms of early 2017 rankings, these guys got to go on the board. What order do you put them in?
Well, if it's a PPR format, for me, White's going to be clearly the person that I want to target. It's a shame that they basically have this divide here. You have White, Lewis, and Brandon Bolden on one side, and then we can't exactly forget about the fact of what they just did with LeGarrette Blount and the tender that they stuck on him, and it's going to really make it so other teams are going to have a hard time justifying signing him when they have a possibility of losing that draft pick. So if you have that Gillisley, Burkhead, and maybe Blount. I mean, we know the team can't keep all of them. So if it's a non-PPR format, I'm going to have Gillisley the highest of the bunch. I prefer him to Burkhead. I know the weird thing is that, you know, they made Burkhead financially a huge commitment. So for them to do that with as many backs as they did, like you said, it's New England. I want no part of it. Gun to my head, I'll take White, you know, as I guess a RB3, you know, a flex guy in one of these PPRs. But other people are going to be way higher than him than I am. And especially, you know, you have those Patriots homers that'll take these guys early too, pushing up that ADP.
Yeah, yeah, it's gonna be interesting.
It's a mess.
It's back to being as big a headache as ever.
It's a mess, yep.
At wide receiver, as we transition, and we're talking early 2017 rankings here on the Get Sports Info podcast, it's Evan Terracciano from Football Diehards and @Roto_Wizard on Twitter joining us here in our Friends of Fantasy segment. I'm Dan Claskins. And Evan, before we get into receivers and tight ends, I know you've been working hard on the magazine. Let's talk about some of the great stuff you guys got going on all season long here at Football Diehards.
Yeah, no, we certainly pride ourselves on trying to be as attentive as we can year-round at Diehards. So between, you know, the show that we have on Sirius and the great writers that I'm lucky to, you know, to be a part of, it's a great spot to be. You alluded, of course, to the fact that I'm working on all these player bios. I think at this point I'm 25,000 words in or something silly, so it's fun. Certainly it's a bit of a bear to work through some of these kicker rankings when it comes to the 20th ranked kicker or something silly.
The 20th kicker on the board has got to be painstaking,
god, right? But you know, with that aside, I love football, always have, always will, and I'm blessed to be a part of this staff, and it's a fun group to be around. So, you know, look forward certainly to my work. You know, I appreciate the follow, and of course, if you have any questions, you know, definitely hit me up on Twitter. So
yes, and be sure to like that Football Diehards page on Facebook and all the goodies there as well. Let's dive back into the rankings. Let's look at wide receiver, because I mean, you know, it is the position. How many true wide receiver ones are there? I mean, I asked it at running back. It's an appealing question here. I mean, we can talk our top five. I think, like quarterback, we probably got the same top five. It's about what order you put them in. I still got Brown number one.
Yep.
Beckham two. And then I go Evans if it's standard, Julio if it's PPR at three, and swap him out at four. AJ Green's my number five. So
yep, you literally rattled off the exact same rankings that I have, and I'd be comfortable with any one of those.
Yes,
being not, my wide receiver
I will,
one.
I will not kick any of them off of my fantasy team this year. But after these guys, I mean, there are a few others on the list, like we did at running back. I mean, if they're your wide receiver one, and plenty of teams are going to have to deal with that. There's only five guys we've mentioned so far.
Yep.
Who are those next few guys you feel comfortable with in that role?
Okay, so my next, I basically have another three, and then afterwards for me it gets to be question markville. So if it's Jordy Nelson, Dez Bryant, or T.Y. Hilton, I'll be okay with that, as that's also wide receiver one figure on my team. Some people might not be quite as happy having that Bryant or Hilton there. I think we can all agree that Nelson belongs in the top 10.
I think Michael Thomas is in that group.
And yep.
I definitely have Jordy as the first of the group, though.
Mm-hmm. But outside of that, you're going to have some people kind of put in DeAndre Hopkins again. Kind of hesitant to do that. They have that Alshon Jeffrey, Amari Cooper.
I mean, where do you put him? I would agree that I'm not comfortable with him as my wide receiver one, but you know, that this next tier we're talking about, I mean, Hopkins and Allen Robinson, two guys that were
killed people
costly
last year.
Yeah. They cost a first round pick if you play in a PPR league, and in any competitive league, a maybe early second rounder pick. Certainly both of them were top 15 picks.
Yeah.
And they didn't deliver. Can they be top 15 picks again in 2017?
I have them ranked both inside the top 15, but it's one of those. I'm definitely biting my lip, and I'm playing. I'm praying I'm not laying on a hand grenade
Let's face it. When you look at the ranks, and I'm just looking at mine. I'm not looking at yours, but I mean, you get 10 through 20, and it's like
they all have.
It's a tier.
They have.
It's very close.
Yep. Agreed. Agreed. Yeah, and you're going to have guys like that. I mean, like I said, once you get outside that top, 7, 8, 9, 10, and we all hear how deep the position is, and the next tier is certainly still productive, but with each and every one of those players between, 11 and 20, you have a question mark. I love Keenan Allen, but I don't know if he's going to stay on the field. I love Allen Robinson's talent, but it's Blake Bortles. So, every one of these players has massive upside that could throw them into wide receiver one territory without any questions asked. I mean, you tell me Sammy Watkins is going to play a full year, and great, he's in there for me. But it's just the if players for me. And that those are the players that, if you hit on one or two of them, you'll win a league. And if you miss, then not so much.
Yeah, and I'll tell you, it's definitely interesting. I mean, as far as the rookies go at receiver, I mean, I know I got Corey Davis a little higher than you. I've got him at 24. I think almost everybody out there has got him in their top 36. I mean, I think most people view him as a wide receiver three potential player right out of the gate. Mm-hmm. I think most of the potential of this class, though, is in dynasty leagues. For guys in dynasty formats, are there some receiver situations that long-term you think these guys could really be something special?
Long-term, it's hard to point to anybody in particular. I mean, you have good situations. Corey Davis obviously stands out amongst them. If you're taking a look at, what quarterback wide receiver tandem will be around for an extended period of time, like, I really like Mark Williams on the Chargers, but the problem is I don't really know how much longer, of course. We're going to have a good situation there. With Phillip Rivers at the helm, he might have 2-3 years left. I'm not as high on John Ross as a lot of other people are. I think we hear that he plays to his speed, but it's still Andy Dalton, and I can't trust him as far as I throw him. It was a bit of a weak wide receiver class for me, and if you go into that second tier of rookies, Zay Jones with the Bills, some people enjoy, but that, who knows if Tyrod's going to be there long term. Curtis Samuel, is with the Panthers, and that's always just an absolute mess. And I guess the only other person I could maybe get excited with is Juju Smith Schuster with the Steelers. So I don't know. I wouldn't say that there's any late round guy that I would have 5-10 years down the road and be really confident in, maybe outside of Corey Davis. For me, it's way more of a running back and tight end draft than wide receiver.
Finishing up some thoughts at receiver here quickly. I mean, I'm just going to name a player in a new face, in a new place. New face, new place. I want you to just tell me where he is on a wide receiver depth chart. Quick.
Okay.
Wide receiver two, high end, low end.
Sure.
Wide receiver three, whatever, wherever you think. And then I'll counter with what I have him. Terrell Pryor.
Prior to me is an upside wide receiver two. I won't fault you if he's your wide receiver one and taking running backs first, but high end wide receiver two is where I have.
That's exactly how I view it. What about Brandon Marshall with the Giants?
Giant homerism. Trying not to peek through here too much. I like Marshall. Love the fit. I'd say maybe high end wide receiver three, low end wide receiver two, right in there. But the volume will be there, and I think he catches double digit touchdowns year one.
Yeah, I got him right outside of my top 25 as well. Mm-hmm. Brandon Cooks is a Patriot. There's a lot of buzz about that. I've got him just as a low end wide receiver too. Where is he on your board?
Maybe just a smidge higher for me. Probably mid wide receiver two. Have him in that bunch of guys I talked about with question marks in that Keenan Allen, Sammy Watkins tier. Wide receiver two wouldn't surprise me though if he returns wide receiver one value with the offense they have there.
What about DeSean Jackson as a Buck?
Like him, like that fit. I talked about it before. Upside, I'd say about maybe low end wide receiver two, high end wide receiver three. I think you're going to draft him later than the return on value you're going to get. I really, really like him where he's at with the ADP right now.
He's a very nice complimentary piece for the Bucks and your mm-hmm. fantasy team if you can get him there in that range. That's where I got him as well. Mm-hmm. Pierre Garçon is right there with me, just slightly behind his former teammate. He's in San Francisco under Kyle Shanahan where, last time he was calling the plays for him, he led the league in receptions. So
yes.
I really like his value in PPR.
And this is where we're going to probably differ a bit much. For me, high-end flex.
Nah, we're not going to differ. I still got him in that flex range. He's actually 37 in my standard ranks. I'll have him around 29 in my PPR ranks. So we're not too far off.
Yeah.
We're not too far off. I do think he's in PPR leagues, he's going to be sneaky. So
he will surprise people. Yep.
Let's quickly finish up with tight ends. Not a lot of things to talk about here. I mean, I think Gronk is still our number one. The question is to Gronk or not to Gronk? I don't expect to have many shares of him because I still think his value will be higher than I'm willing to pay, Evan. Although, it's my biggest man crush I've ever had on a player not on my favorite football team. I love Gronk as a player, but from a fantasy perspective, man, it's just hard to come off of him. I mean, maybe round three, if he somehow slips, I'd consider, but I don't see that happening.
Agreed. Tight ends, we alluded to it before. It was a pretty deep rookie class coming in. Where Gronk's going to go, I won't see him. I will not see him in two, three. I won't take a tight end, truth be told, probably till round eight. Yeah. Unless the crazy values are just like quarterbacks. So,
I mean, there are guys out there, but, I mean, injury-prone guys. I mean, you look at mm-hmm. Kelsey is pretty decent, and Olsen, Jordan Reed, I got him three on my board. He's been hurt. Walker's missed some time even, but, a little bit more reliable. Tyler Eifert's made of glass. Jimmy Graham,
yep.
I mean, you look down to it. I really think Martellus Bennett is I'm already finding that he's at that spot in the draft where I like. I'm moving him up my board, and I like Hunter Henry. I think he's ascending. O.J. Howard, the rookie. I think Jack Doyle now.
Yes.
A guy I've got in my – just the fringe tight end one, but, I mean, with Allen now in New England – mm-hmm. Doyle has a show to himself, and when that was the case last year, it was fairly productive there.
He was. I would totally agree with you, and that's probably the cropping that I'll have somewhere in that, Ertz, Kyle Rudolph, Martellus Bennett tier. I won't have those upper guys, again, unless they fall to me.
In dynasty formats, I'm buying into the second-year guys. Hunter Henry, Austin Hooper, I think the sky is the limit for these guys for years ahead, so if you are in a dynasty format, and the rookie tight ends, as we've talked about, Everett and Howard, I mean, these guys, I'm spending a little earlier rookie pick than I might have in previous years in those dynasty drafts. So definitely appreciate you joining us, Evan, talking some friends in fantasy. We're going to wrap up the podcast here as we do every one of our podcasts. Hashtag my one more thing on Twitter. This is our chance to talk to you about something besides fantasy. I want to hear your take as well. We got a blog at Get Sports Info. It's called My One More Thing. It's where we blog about stuff like this. And on there is a list from our archives at GSI with James Adams, my buddy, putting up his best sports parties. And on the heels of my favorite sports party every year, the Kentucky Derby. I'm a Kentuckian, man. I mean, I grew up in the Bluegrass State.
Sure.
From my college days in the infield, drinking hooch with High C and Everclear at the bottom of the coolers. And, I mean, dude, we saw more boobs than horses back in those days.
Nice.
I mean, and it was crazy. But back then, you know, when the mid-90s in my college prime there, when I'm heading out to this thing, I mean, it was, you get in for like $15. It was like pre-9/11. So, I mean, you could sneak. I mean, we literally
right on in,
took
sure.
coolers of ice with Evergreen buried underneath them and then dumped the high C in there and we got there.
Nice.
So later in life, my wife and I, we enjoyed 5 years of a private room up there, all you can eat, open bar. I mean, literally walking in on a red carpet with, you know. So in Kentucky, I can tell you, it's a special day all across the area. I mean, the city of Louisville Electric, it is a bucket list item for anybody who lives in the region for sure. But really, I mean, they do flock from all over the world for this event.
Sure.
And 150,000 strong. It tops my list of best sports parties that I've been to. Evan, another one that is on my bucket list that we were sort of talking about before the podcast here was, man, I want to go to Vegas. I've been to Vegas plenty, my bachelor party. Yep. I mean, I've had several trips to Vegas, but I want to be there for myself for March Madness.
Oh,
like the first couple rounds. Like, I've never done it, man. I got to get there for when there's like 32 games in 2 days and just be like totally on overflow. I know you want to go to Vegas for a high stakes event. You would put that on your bucket list for best sports party.
I'd like to go to Vegas, period. Don't get me wrong. I've never been.
I have never been to Vegas.
You
got to go to Vegas, dude.
When I have a 4.5-year-old daughter and a 1.5-year-old son, it's somewhat prohibitive. But, you know, it's definitely a thing I've always wanted to do. And then a long-standing, I've been the commissioner in a football league here for, I don't even know, 16 years, 17 years. I'm only 32. So like half my life I've been in this thing. And I would love to have our draft party over there first and foremost. That'd be phenomenal. I would say, you know, in terms of a party for me, you know, I did cover, luckily.
The Super Bowl. I mean, the Super Bowl's on everybody. The
Super Bowl's up there. I've been to a handful of NFL drafts, you know, when they're at.
Cool. I've never been to a draft.
Drafts are fun.
I like they switch it up in different cities now.
Yes.
So.
Yes.
I mean, and, dude, there's plenty of great games. I mean, event-wise, though, I mean, I've been to Talladega for a NASCAR race. That was interesting. Indy 500. I'm not a big racing fan, so I was definitely there. I was definitely there at those events for the party.
Mm-hmm.
And they're both worth. I've always wanted to, I like college football, so I've been to several campus games. I saw Peyton Manning and Danny Werfel at Neyland Stadium in 1997.
There you go.
Which was a cool one. Sugar Bowls and stuff. But, I mean, there's nothing better than a good college rivalry. Living in Tallahassee and experiencing Florida State. I mean, you're either a Gator or you're a hater. So
exactly.
We want to know yours. Definitely let me know on Twitter, at Dan Claskins, hashtag my one more thing. Check out James's list on the blog at GetSportsInfo. We'll be back again in about a week or so. We're going to dive into our division previews. We're going to start up with the AFC East, go team by team on that. Evan, definitely thank you for joining us and looking forward to digging into the magazine and certainly going to be talking some smack on Twitter. And hey, we're going to be in an MFL 10. If you want to join us, I'm going to send you the link right now and I'm going to put it out there to others as well. Check it out, GetSportsInfo.com. That's all the time we have for now. Until next time, I'm Dan Claskins. This has been the Get Sports Info Podcast.
Get Sports Radio.